and welcome back to the Cafe Hustle, the hospitality leadership podcast with me, Andy Jones. And today we are talking all about the Burnt Chef project. So I have brought Chris Hall onto the Cafe Hustle to talk about how he got into the industry in the first instance, but then also how he transitioned into helping thousands of people in the industry with their struggles, or at least, you know, opening up and being able to get them to start talking about what is going on in their head. It's really important. We've mentioned it loads of times on the Cafe Hustle how we need to encourage our teams to talk about things that they may be struggling with. We've got to create that safe space for people to be able to open up and allow us to help them, you know, or support them at least in the best. So the Burnt Chef Project, if you don't know what that is, it's a not-for-profit social enterprise, and it's all about making the hospitality industry healthier. And they're really trying to do that through improving the ability of owners and line managers to have an awareness of mental health issues and have an ability to open up the conversation. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about the importance of identifying mental health issues yourself, your own issues, and acknowledging that you need to have or some way of dealing with them. We also talk about how he followed his calling. Chris got into this almost accidentally. It's a great story how he got into this project in essence. And then we're going to talk about how you as a hospitality professional can start to make a difference today. And Chris really helps us out with giving us some ideas of how we could possibly do that. So yeah, we're going to get into this episode after we get back from thanking our sponsors. Are you still managing your teams, clocking in and out, using paper timesheets, or trying to keep it all in your head? Reduce the margin for error and ensure you're paying your staff for the right amount of time work with the time clocking and people management tools from Rotocloud. Your team can clock in and out directly from the app, giving you the peace of mind that your people are paid for their work. Even better, your staff don't have to worry about recording their times worked or writing down on paper at the end of the week, because it's all stored in Rotocloud's secure app. You can also set up geofences so that clocking in and out can only be done within the proximity of your store. Or if you need more certainty, you can set it up to only allow them to clock in when they're connected to your store Wi-Fi. If you need a solution to deal with your employee rosters, schedules, time clocking, and more, save yourself and your staff huge amounts of time by using Rotocloud for your people management. Head over to thecafehustle.com/Rotocloud now. If you employ people, you need Rotocloud. So Chris from the Burnt Chef Project, thank you very much for joining me on the Cafe Hustle. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much, Andy. It's it's good to be here. Good to be here. Good to our chat.
No, I really appreciate it. And no doubt we'll be talking about a really important issue for the hospitality industry. And it's not just hospitality, is it? This is something that society in general, and that's mental health, struggles with dealing and being open with. But I'm going to start off initially. I want to know what your purpose is. What motivates you? What drives you to keep doing what you do?
Good question. I think this was a question that I struggled with for years. Like many people growing up, I never really understood what my purpose and was life. And interestingly enough, that was one of the things that led me to an early depression in my teens. But the Burnt Chef Project has become my drive and my purpose. And over the last 3 or 4 years, it's really, really been solidified in my core fiber. And I think that it comes down to now the fact that my mission is to ensure that everyone within hospitality knows that first and foremost, it's perfectly okay to experience differences in your mental health and well-being, and that it's perfectly acceptable to talk about it when you're feeling perhaps mentally unwell or experiencing a mental illness. But also, it's become so much more than that. I mean, the Burnt Chef Project has become a beacon of change within the hospitality community, whereby I'm not just creating awareness, me and my team aren't just creating awareness for mental health and challenging the stigma associated with mental health, but we're actually providing education, services, solutions to individuals and business owners to enable them to create a new way of working, a new hospitality sector that doesn't have the same trials and tribulations necessarily as time's gone by. It doesn't have the same the same stigma associated with it. You know, when you go to your parents and say, I want to become a chef or I want to work as a mixologist, and they go, that's not a proper career. Go get a job as a lawyer or a doctor. And I think we need to do we've got a lot of work to do in terms of turning this around. But my drive, my purpose is that I want to create an industry that my children I know can come into. I know they can have a long, sustainable career, a healthy career, where they're going to be, they're going to experience the same things from the hospitality that I did in terms of that drive, that passion, that creativity. But they're also going to grow as human beings. They're going to do so in a healthy manner that's not going to feel like they are always servicing others and not servicing themselves. That's I guess, in my drive at this moment in time.
Yeah, and it's a really important thing, and we'll come back to that. But what was your journey then? What was your career like through hospitality? Where did you come into the play?
Well, to be honest with you, my career in hospitality was brilliant. I've got no faults, and in fact, my experiences of mental illness had nothing to do with hospitality in itself. But I my background is in sales and marketing. So ever since I left my paper round job, which was a 7 day a week, 365 day a year job that I was never sick for at the age of 13, 14, I went into the working world at 16, selling TVs and hi-fis, and then moved into the mechanical engineering sector. But as soon as I was 18 and old enough to work in a bar, I always held a job down in Bournemouth, in nightclubs, in bars, in pubs, alongside my main career, because I loved it. I loved working in busy environments where you're working with a diverse mix of people. You were getting to experience, you know, such interesting things on an evening basis. I loved the adrenaline of it. Awesome, absolutely awesome. But I fell into hospitality full time when, probably about 12 years ago now, where I started supplying fine dining restaurants with food ingredients, and supplying mixologists with, you know, incredible micro herbs from Amsterdam, from Coppercress, and we were purveying, you know, finger limes, which were like this Australian lime that have all these caviar pearls. And I just loved getting hold of these ingredients, and I loved being able to speak to chefs, to mixologists, to waiting staff about these products. And I could see the light in their eyes go off, and they could get as enthused as I was about it. And so I absolutely loved it. I fell in love again with the hospitality sector in a completely different way. But for me, I was also carrying quite a bit of, call it baggage, shall we say, in terms of my mental health and well-being. I've been carrying a personality or identity crisis for many, many years. And effectively, I was like a chameleon, right? So you could say to me, Chris, you believe in a certain religion, and I would have not disagreed with you. I had no core foundations. My personality was built on being the life and soul of a party, but there was nothing behind it. There was no integrity or authenticity to myself. I lost that at a very early age, and so that came back and bit me in the ass quite severely when I was in my late 20s. And unfortunately, it ended up fracturing a lot of relationships, and it damaged my working career at the time. And so after a couple of years of recovery, I started to talk about it, because one of the big issues that I had was that I genuinely thought I had to walk around with a big empty space inside my head. I thought that everyone on the world had nothing going on between their ears, and that was the way that life should be. And I thought that I was broken because I had all of these rumination, these negative thoughts all the time. And so I wanted to start a conversation. So I started speaking to my peers, my colleagues, my friends in hospitality, you know, chefs who I was working with and got on well with. And I was like, do you ever have these sort of thoughts? And they're like, well, we do, but we don't talk about them. You just get on with it. You know, we deal with this ourselves. And so I thought, no, this isn't good enough. So your listeners won't be able to see, but behind me, I've got a couple of black and white photos. Part of my recovery was photography. I used to take a lot of commercial photography as well. And it was a form of mindfulness for me. So I started taking black and white photos of hospitality professionals to show more goes on behind the scenes than you might think. So they're half in cut, half in light, half in shadow. And it was really just to portray that message that you just don't know what's going on inside someone's head. And we want to try and bring the face into light and to be able to talk more openly about things that might be going on inside. And at first it was really, really difficult to get chefs specifically to have their photo taken to raise awareness for this subject matter, because there was a great sense of ego, sense of shame if they even supported this project. But I carried on, and two photos turned into four, turned into eight, and before you know it, I was in some incredible businesses, walking in during service, which, if you know anyone who doesn't know hospitality, is a massive no-no. And chefs were putting down their tools. We had front of house staff, we had managerial staff, all coming in, having their photos taken in the kitchen, and they were all telling me about their own experiences and their own journeys, because for the first time, people felt comfortable and confident to talk about their experiences with mental health. And thus, the Burnt Chef project was born. Started off in photos, and we're now in 122 countries worldwide, providing support to thousands and providing education to tens of thousands more to create this sustainable industry whereby we can talk about health and well-being, but we can also reduce the impacts that our industry may have on people's health and well-being.
So really it wasn't an intentional project in a way. It was just something that developed into what it is now through your struggles that you're talking about there, and the reality that people in our industry didn't want to open up and to talk openly about what they go through, not only on a day-to-day basis, but from month to month, year to year.
Yeah, it's a complete accident. This project was never meant to exist like this. It was meant to be a photography campaign in Bournemouth to create some local awareness, and partnered with my local mind to start to get people talking. That's all that this was ever meant to be, and I hold my hands up quite honestly and say that. But what I also have to take responsibility for is that we play a big part in opening Pandora's box, and COVID's happened. So I launched this in March 2019. Mm-hmm. COVID obviously happened a year later, and all of a sudden it meant that we had a responsibility to the hospitality community to support those who were, for many people, may not have ever experienced a form of mental illness and were thrust into this unknown situation. And so I spent my entire time on furloughed. I was a sales manager for very successful, had no issues. I had a great team of ex-chefs that I trained up to be incredible salespeople, not from a car sales point of view, but like from an integrity and from a knowledge standpoint of view. These are incredible friends, and I still see them now. I had no reason to leave my employment. I was on a good salary, a great salary. I was driving a really, really nice car. I had a good team, and I loved my job. Absolutely no need to change at all. But the reality is that we were getting contacted from all over the UK, from America, from Canada, from places like the Tokyo Embassy, from the exec chef there who bought some of our merchandise. And it was bigger than me. And so in October 2020, I sat down with my boss. Again, Gavin, I get on really well with him now still. And I said to him, I'm going to have to quit. He says, nothing to do with you, but this is bigger than I am, and I need to see this through, and I need to do what I can do to help our industry. And that was terrifying. I went from a 60 grand a year job to 15 grand a year. And that, even that was on loose foundations. I had a mortgage. I got two children. Mm-hmm. And I gave up my job in order to be able to do what we are doing currently.
When you look back at it now, though, that leap and that it was a leap, wasn't it? Is the difference you've now made, is it worth it?
Yes, yeah, definitely. And my team are my team always have a go at me because we had our gala recently, so a Burnt Chef, the first gala that we've ever had, and it gave us an opportunity to celebrate with a lot of our stakeholders and our volunteers and my team, which, you know, has grown from 2 to 14 in 12 months. And it gave us an opportunity to look back and see the impact that we've had. And it's impressive. I mean, I was just looking through the figures again today. Like, you know, we've trained over 1,000 people face to face in the last 12 months in mental health awareness. We've provided free access by the Burnt Chef Academy to 18 modules to over 15,000 people all over the world. You know, we're doing what I didn't know at the time, but we're doing what we set out to do, which was we're educating, we're changing the way that people look at mental health and well-being. But, and this is where the team have a go at me, I always think we could do more, and we will do more. And we are still only scratching the tip of the iceberg in terms of being able to assist people, especially when our surveys and our data shows that at least half of the hospitality community are experiencing some sign of, you know, even if it's high levels of stress and chronic stress, which is incredibly debilitating. We know that half the hospitality community are experiencing difficulties. So we have an awful lot of work ahead of us to do. And that doesn't allow me time to sit back and go, God, yeah, we've done enough now. So it's time to sit back and coast. No, this is fuel for the fire. We're going hard. You know, we are more support systems, more awareness, more market leading content in terms of, you know, diverse and incredible new ways of thinking when it comes to things like rota management or leadership or feeding teams or, you know, GP management, whatever it might be. If there's, you know, topics of conversation around menopause, financial health, around diversity and inclusion, we want to be at the forefront of this because we have a duty, an obligation to the 72 million people worldwide in hospitality to do this.
Mm-hmm. And how does it need to change? What needs to change operationally in the independents, whether it's small chains or even bigger chains? What do we need to do differently as an industry?
Good question. There's no one size fits all, which is the most challenging thing that I've had to address over the last 3 years, is that I used to think that by putting everyone on a four-day working week, having 3 days off, fixes all the problems. But in reality, you know, and we've got independent business owners listening to this going, well, that's 30 grand a year, that we don't make 30 grand a year in profit. So it doesn't work. That's not the fix. And in, you know, in stark reality, we're working with people like Le Manoir, like with the Belfry and Glen Eagles and Marsden's and Malmaison and Buckham Brewery, and we're working with so many different organizations that there is no one size fits all. But we know through data, and we know things like our partnership with the health and safety executive, stress and chronic stress, high levels of sustained stress are part of the parcel currently of working in hospitality. That's something that, you know, for me, it was a drug. It was my adrenaline was what drove me to enjoy a career in hospitality. So it's not always bad, but we know that it can lead to quite serious physical and mental health issues. So the first all-encompassing thing that I would say to independents or to businesses, and this isn't just necessarily front of house, back of house, this is, you know, housekeeping, this can be the food service. You know, we work with a lot of food service equipment suppliers like Unox. Is start to look at stress and how it appears in the business. You know, where is stress appearing? And not just, you know, going, oh, I feel stressed today. What is it that's driving that feeling? And what are we doing currently to start tackling that feeling of stress? because at the moment, and some recent stats from the HSE have just come out actually, over half of all days taken off sick. This is as a wider economy. This isn't just hospitality, but as over half of all the days that are taken off are a direct result of stress and high levels of stress. So look at stress, look at where it's appearing. Is it demands? Is it control? Is it role? Is it support? Is it management? Find out what you're doing about that currently and then pat yourself on the back. But what else can you do? What else do your teams want you to do about this as well? Because it's not always about what we want. It's about, you know, I could stand in front of you now and go, I play rugby. If none of you have who are listening to this have ever played rugby, you couldn't tell me what stresses me out on a rugby pitch. You couldn't tell me what my anxiety is over. You could have an idea. Yes, it's going to be that 18 stone prop who's running towards me. And you know, I'm definitely not an 18 stone guy. But unless you speak to those individuals in those specific roles, you're not going to be able to find out the unique intricacies of what it is that impacts their day and that impacts their performance. So I think probably stress is the first thing. I think mental health stigma, yes, we're getting a lot better now with our conversations around mental health and well-being. But there's a strong, similarly to the military, there's a strong macho, you know, culture of stoicism, but not the healthy kind. Yeah. The if I don't talk about it, it doesn't exist kind. And I think we need to do more on that front as well.
Cafe Hustle is brought to you in partnership with Road to Cloud, the people management platform for shift-based teams. Start your 30-day free trial at thecafehustle.com/roadtocloud now to see how much easier planning rotas, recording attendance, managing annual leave really can be. The Cafe Hustle is also supported by Espressly. Now, with the move to digital happening fast and your customers expecting to get access to your business wherever they are, means a mobile ordering solution is crucial for allowing your customers to order on the go. Not only that, but your digital presence must be an extension of your physical location and brand. With Espressly, you can get your very own branded mobile ordering app that integrates seamlessly with other brands, including Square. Give your staff and customers a mobile ordering experience usually only reserved for big budget operators and chains. Check out what is possible over at thecafehustle.com/Espressly. That's Espressly. If you need a mobile ordering app, you need Espressly. I think really a lot of people try to think of like, and stress is part of the job, isn't it? You know, we're not going to get through a day where there isn't, or some sort of pressure at least, but it's our job as business owners to not allow that to boil over and to become an actual mental health illness, because really it's in our interest as well. We don't want people taking days off, but as well, these are people's lives that we're talking about. And that's the reality of, as an employer, yes, we need these people to do the jobs for us and to give our customers those great experiences and the service. But at the end of the day, these are people. And again, and I've said it many times on the podcast, we have the power as employers, as leaders, to change people's lives. And even if we can make or not add to any, you know, issues or concerns or anxieties that people have from outside of in their personal lives, that's the last thing we want to do is add to it. So like say, little things like talking to people and just starting that conversation can be enough to at least give us the information to help them in a way we can.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the reality is that any employer, whether you're in this country or you're international, you have a duty of care to the people that work for you or work with you, depending on your terminology. You know, my team work with me, they don't work for me. Yep. You have a duty of care, and that duty of care is that you protect them as a human being against any harm. You know, no one should be put at harm, whether that's physical or psychological, in terms of working for you. So that first and foremost comes into that. But not many people know that in UK law, and this is quite similar in other places around the world as well, it's actually a legal requirement to start addressing things like stress. You need to be carrying out a stress risk assessment as part of a legal duty as well. But it's just not that well enforced over here at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And that's not just in our sector, that's in all sectors. So yes, you take, you know, I'd like to believe that everyone is a, you know, a kind human being, and they want to do whatever they can do to make a fellow human being's life better. But sometimes that can get lost in, you know, finances. It can get lost in the pressures of running a business. Mm-hmm. May never existed in the first place. Perhaps it was always about making money and not about the people in the organization. But understanding that it does have a direct impact on the well-being of that individual, but also the profit and loss factor. And I can give Absolutely. You an example of that, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we did a psychological study with our partners, Peopleful, on a restaurant group, really great restaurant group. They've been around for 30 years now. What that showed us is that just under half of those individuals who are working for that restaurant group were experiencing some sort of signs of presenteeism. So for anyone who doesn't know what presenteeism mm-hmm. is, if you've ever been at work with a cold, a cough, or even if you've been hungover before, you know what it's like to be at work, not necessarily firing on all cylinders. Perhaps you're making more mistakes than usual. Perhaps you're thinking quite negatively. Perhaps your customer interactions aren't as good as they usually are. Presenteeism is one of the biggest threats to our sector at the moment, and stress and mental illness is part of that. So being at work when you shouldn't be. But the cost to that organization, and we were talking just 140 people here, the cost was £78,000 a month in lost revenue as a result of people being at work but not being well enough to be performing at their best. So whatever your reasons for doing it, whether you are a good human being, whether you know, you value your team, or whether you want to just make lots of money and retire early one day, there is a strong ethical and a strong business case specifically for tackling mental health, mental illness, and stress within your organization.
Yeah, a big part of the Cafe Hustle, really, now it's really has turned into more of a leadership focus on hospitality. But the reality is, and this is what we try and get across to people, is that when you do focus on your people and you show that you care, not just through words, but through actions, through some of the benefits as well, that the profits do then follow because you've got a higher performing team behind you, just like you've demonstrated there with those figures. If people aren't, you know, delivering the service that they should be, it's only natural to think that the revenue side and certainly even repeat customers, you might be losing some of them just because of the experience they have dealing with someone who's in work who shouldn't be.
Yeah, hugely so. And you've touched upon a quite an interesting point as well. So once I started the Burnt Chef project and we were providing, you know, our free to access 24-hour support service, I wanted to do more than just provide a band-aid or a plaster for mm-hmm. the wound underneath. So we started looking at what was it that was causing the impact to people, and we've spoken a little bit about stress and mental illness, but one of the other things was that was exacerbating that was there was a huge skill gap shortage within our sector when it comes down to leadership, because mm-hmm. in other sectors I've worked in, other industries I've worked in, if you want to become a manager, you go through a 2-year management training program whereby you learn how to provide performance coaching. You learn how to do regular one-to-ones and the benefits of having a one-to-one rather than the negatives and that you should use it. But within hospitality, if you wanted to become a manager, and you could do quite easily, you could become a manager at 20, 21, 22 yeah. and run a multi-million pound business quite easily. But in reality, it's often learnt on the job. You might find yourself in a management or a leadership position because the person before you left and you now have just inherited that role.
Yeah.
And so what we were finding is actually that skill gap, that lack of understanding or awareness of emotional intelligence, of effective communication, of what even culture, like how to nurture and grow culture within your organization, was a huge, huge component that led to people not just being unwell, but to people leaving our sector altogether because they didn't have that that strong leadership support within the businesses that are working from. So it's a massive, massive component, and it's a huge area of focus for us.
Yeah, I know over the last 6 months I've been fairly, well, my opinion as well as a few others is that our issue with staffing now is not solely around the pandemic and people not actually considering hospitality as being a long-term career, and obviously Brexit as well thrown into the mix, certainly for the UK. But actually the leadership side is a big barrier for people who maybe have tried it once, not had a great experience, and they don't necessarily come back. And you're touching on the point there is actually we need to be starting to focus on leadership as a genuine skill. There's techniques and strategies as a leader that you need to employ and be able to adapt very quickly, certainly in hospitality. But we need to be training people and not just promoting people who, oh, he's great on a coffee machine. Yeah, he'd be a great head barista, or, you know, something similar to that, which, as you say, tends to happen in our industry.
Yeah, all the time. And that's one of the reasons why we launched our level 4 management and mental health in the workplace apprenticeship. So this is a Levy funded apprenticeship specifically designed in collaboration with our partners PLG. And this is a level 4 apprenticeship. You can get this in any sector, but this is a management apprenticeship with a difference because it is being co-designed with us. So we've tweaked it so that we are focusing on things like empathy, on emotional intelligence, on a level 3 award in mental health. It's also, I've just found out today, it's a Chartered Institute of Managers. When you go through this apprenticeship, you automatically become a fellow of that as well. So that's one of the things that we brought in. But I think that we could do so much more. So, you know, we have an international network of ambassadors. They're all ambassadors that we've trained in mental health awareness and effective communication. They are incredible mentors and a peer support group. Mm-hmm. And so one of our key area of focuses in 2023 is to develop a coaching and mentorship apprenticeship as well, which again focuses on this, because we're just not taught. We just don't have that skill set. Yeah. We need to be doing more so that our turnover rates aren't 125, 135, or recently I heard 400% in one organization.
Wow.
That they're more in line with the rest of the economy, which is 25%, you know?
Yeah. It's a big jump for us to get to that point. And I think it's not just leadership, it's not just, you know, the environment. There's lots of elements that come into that, and it'll take some changing to get us aligned with other industries. Like you say, it's like I did a webinar yesterday, and it was, you know, how can we adapt, or how can we move hospitality to be more like, you know, a job in a bank in terms of, you know, the benefits and the flexibility that is afforded to some people in those sorts of roles. But it's a big challenge, definitely. So if there's one thing now for our listeners to say, right, what can I do today in my business to start making a difference? What would be the one thing you would suggest that they can take action on?
First and foremost, you need to know where you are currently in order to know where you're going moving forward. And the only way that you're going to get that information is by asking for it from your teams. So I would encourage all of you to sit down with your teams, try and make it, you know, less stagnant and stale than a, you know, boardroom meeting or, you know, sat locked eyes, you know. Do it over lunch, do it over something that's nutritionally beneficial. Mm-hmm. Do it, you know, if it's during the summer and you're listening to this, do it over a paddleboard, you know. Take your team out and do something, but build as part of that an opportunity to have an open, psychologically safe dialogue. And what I mean psychologically safe is that if you're going to ask your team for feedback on how the business is run, what they would like to see, how you are as a manager or as a leader, be prepared that it's not always going to be a glowing report. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that's a personal attack on you or your business, despite the fact that you've taken all this time and energy and blood, sweat and tears to build the business. But it's an opportunity for that individual to really say, without any risk at their job or any risk of, you know, impact to them or to you, but it's an opportunity for them to give you quite invaluable information that will allow you to make small changes that will actually have a dramatic impact on your business. And we don't see that happening enough. People are too afraid of what might come back when you say, how are things going? Where do you see yourself? How are we doing for you? Because sometimes it's like with sick pay. Sometimes during our training sessions, we ask people, do you get sick pay? And they go, no. And so we go to the business owner and we say, do you pay sick pay? And they're like, no, we don't. I said, why not? And they wrinkle their face and they go, well, if we pay sick pay, people will just be off sick all the time. And I said, no, you've got completely the wrong culture if that's the case. I said, you need to empower people. If people are asking you for sick pay, it's not so that they can abuse the system. And you can have policies and procedures in place for that. But you need to empower people. And going back to what I was saying, give people a voice. Allow them to have their voice heard. And that will have a dramatic impact on your business and on their value and how they feel about your organization.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. The biggest knowledge base in any industry is in the workers that are on the front line, and you're touching on it there, but again, ego needs to play no part in the conversation in any way, shape or form, whether you're an owner or a manager, because you've got to be open to the things that aren't working. And if you're not seeing it and someone else is, then why not use their experience and their eyes in the business to make the business better for you? And this is, again, we spoke about it earlier, but it comes back around to be, actually, you put the people at front and center, the profits and the business performance come along as a result of that. And listen, Chris, thank you so much for your time. I really, first of all, congratulations and thank you. And no doubt the entire industry would echo that for the work that you and your team have done, because certainly since the pandemic, this is a conversation that we need to be having more, as, you know, just like we are now, to start people to think differently about how they approach mental health first and foremost, but also their own as owners. Even there's a lot of owners out there that struggle with their mental health, and it's a lonely place to be running a hospitality business, and it is at the minute, you know, it's even more so. Yeah. So thank you so much for the work you're doing and to your team, and thank you for coming on the Cafe Hustle.
Thank you very much for having me. Even if this conversation just reaches one person, and it is challenging times out there currently, you know, both for owners and individuals alike, but know that there is support. Yeah, there's a load of free resources that we offer, and I really appreciate you taking the time and allowing me to share the story.
Yeah, where can people find out more about you, about the Burnt Chef Project, and more importantly, those resources that can make a real difference for them?
Yeah, if you head over to, we're quite active on, quite prolific on social media, so we're on all of the main channels there, but head over to our website, which is theburntchefproject.com. On there, you'll find access to the surveys that we've done, so real life data on this subject matter. You'll find access to our free support mechanisms, our subscription support mechanisms, our training, both in-person training and our free to access training, things like breath work, nutrition, sleep, menopause, you name it, we've provided it. And it doesn't always cost money. A lot of that is for free. So check over there. Yeah. Obviously, we have a podcast ourselves as well with people like Paul Ainsworth and Nathan Outlaw on there. And again, that's actually been quite a useful tool for people to understand that, again, as a business owner or an employee, you're not alone. There are people who may have experienced similar things, and you might find solace in that.
Yeah. No, listen, thank you again for coming on. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your thoughts on this. It is really going to be something for our industry to really take big steps forward in the next 6 to 12 months. I think we do need to really up our game as employers, but also helping people who work for us understand that it's okay to talk about it. So listen, again, thank you very much for the work you're doing, Chris, and thank you very much for coming on the Cafe Hustle.
No worries, thank you. Cheers.
So a really important conversation that our industry needs to start having, and that's how we deal and better accommodate mental health illness in our industry. I think a stat on the Burnt Chef website is that 80% of employees have experienced mental health issues during their career in hospitality, and that has to change. And that links back into the mission of the Burnt Chef, and that's to make the hospitality industry healthier. And obviously it's not just mental health, there's a lot of all of other elements that come into having a healthy industry. But one of the, like Chris said there, is that the real important point is that we create a safe space for our employees. I know I've spoken about it a lot in the past, how we can create a safe space from the point of view of making mistakes, from the point of view of opening up with their mental health issues, you know, being somewhere where they feel they can find the support, be directed towards the help. I know we've had lots of episodes where we've covered that. And like Chris says there, having a psychologically safe space that we can receive the feedback from our people, not that they're going to be scared to talk to us and to give us constructive feedback, because really it is all constructive. If you've got a viewpoint of an employee that they're bringing to you, it's better to know that information and be able to act on it than to not be aware of it. And equally, they're not bringing that information to us to attack us. They're not trying to get one over on us. They're bringing it so that we can act. And that really comes back to what we do as leaders. It's about acting and reacting or responding to our people when they bring us or highlight things that they need. So really important conversations, and great work that Chris and his team are doing in the Burnt Chef project to help the entire industry all over the world. This isn't just the UK either. This is all over the world. So make sure you head over to theburntchefproject.com and really get behind this, because again, this is the sort of movement that we need, similar to Hospitality Rising from an employment point of view. We need this, as in the Burnt Chef project, to support the retention in our industry as well. Not only making people's lives better, but actually keeping people working in our industry, because at the end of the day, we need that. So yeah, thank you again for joining me on the Cafe Hustle. I really appreciate it. If there's anything that you has struck with you of this episode, or you can resonate with, reach out to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you. If there's anything I can ever help you with from a mental health point of view, if you just need anyone to talk, reach out to me on the email at andy@thecafehustle.com. We can set up a call very quickly. And yeah, we need to get behind one another in this industry. And one last thing before I go, don't forget the Burnt Chef Project. I've got an app. It's free to download as well. And there's loads of support in there, including live support professionals that are there to at least give you that additional support. So make sure you check that out. And more importantly, get your staff to check it out. Spread the word. Let them know about it, and it's there for them to use. Anyway, thanks again for joining me on the Cafe Hustle. I really appreciate you spending that time with us, and I look forward to welcoming you back on our next episode. With competition for hospitality staff fiercer than ever, it's never been more important to offer your staff a 5-star employee experience. One way that hospitality businesses all over the UK are doing that is by using Rotocloud. Rotocloud is the web-based platform for planning rotas, recording attendance, managing staff holidays, and more. It also makes life easy for your staff by giving them 24/7 access to their rotas, timesheets, and as well as letting them do things like request annual leave, arrange their own cover for any shifts they can't work, all via the free Rotocloud mobile app. Head to thecafehustle.com/Rotocloud now to claim your free 30-day trial and give your team the kind of employee experience they deserve.